The Führer said that if Great Britain were prepared to recognize that the war in Europe was at an end, then he would be prepared to guarantee that the British Empire remained intact. There would, of course, have to be a number of important concessions. In particular, the German Overseas Empire, dismantled under the infamous Treaty of Versailles in 1919, must be restored. Mr. Churchill replied,
XPD by Len Dayton, dramatized in 8 parts by Michael Bakewell. Episode 5, Operation Siegfried.
Stuart.
Sorry, I'm a little late. The cryptograph machine was in use until a few minutes ago.
Doesn't matter. I was only sleeping.
Well, I said I was sorry. Anyway, you better make sure you're fully awake. It looks as though we have a breakthrough on the Stein documents.
Really?
A call to Stein from London. A man named Paul Bock wants to talk to Stein about the papers. He says he works for a German bank in London. He says it's a matter of life and death.
Oh, he does he?
He won't give his address, but he left the number of a secretarial agency which will take a message for him.
Well, where did this call come through to?
He was phoning Stein. There was no one in the house, and the call went on to Stein's answering machine. Our people are trying to get into Stein's house to wipe the message off the tape, but they're not having much success.
Okay, so there's no time to lose. Give me the number of the agency and any other details you've got.
The number is...
HDB agency?
Oh, I'm trying to contact a Mr. Paul Bock. He left your number.
And your name is...
Stein. Charles Stein.
Oh, yes. I have the message for you, Mrs. Stein. Go to Jimmy's Militaria. It's in York Way, near King's Cross Station. You can't miss it, it says here.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Can't miss it, the lady said. How right she was. Swastikas, iron crosses, photos of Eva Braun, Kitchener needs you.
We're closed. We don't open till 10.
I'm looking for a Mr. Paul Bock. He wants to see me.
At this time of day? You're not Stein, are you?
Charles Stein. That's me.
You don't sound like an American.
I was at school in England.
Well, come in, Mr. Stein. Paul will be surprised to see you. He's frying himself an egg upstairs. Out this way.
The message was on my answering machine. I'm trying to see if there were any messages. I have a device which makes recording playbacks over the phone.
Heat science, wonderful. By the way, I'm Jimmy. Through here. Hey, Paul, turn that thing off. Here's your Mr. Stein.
Charles Stein. I was in London.
He phones his home and gets you a message using one of those whistle gadgets.
Jimmy's a communications engineer. I'm just an amateur. I've been using my little microcomputer to get into mainframes by telephone for years.
Are you a political activist?
Oh, no. We're computer pirates. Nothing to do with politics. Our idea of fun is accessing password files. We're a sort of club.
Do you want an egg? Soft or turned over?
Soft.
Jimmy eats them turned over. They taste like plastic. Cigarette? Help yourself.
No, thanks. A bit early for me.
Tell me everything you know about Operation Siegfried.
You're talking about?
We can get rough, Mr. Stein. You might find it hard to believe, but we can get very rough.
I believe you can get rough. So why don't you believe me when I say that I've never heard of Operation Siegfried?
Here's your egg. Do you want bread?
Thanks. If you've got something to tell me, then tell me.
I work in a bank. Big German bank. The name doesn't matter. They got this information from the bank's computer.
Is that difficult?
The computer was a beauty. Could be this is one of the most complex of its kind anywhere in Europe.
But we cracked it. Or Jimmy did. Jimmy's a wizard.
So what is Operation Siegfried?
Well, we're not quite sure.
There is a secret fund, a trust, they call it, formed by some of the most powerful organizations of the Bundesrepublik. Steel companies, armaments, insurance companies, publishers, very big banks. We know that the senior trustee is a man named Böttger. He's president of a bank based in Hamburg. Like all the men involved, he's never been associated with any post-war political party. That's significant.
In what way significant?
Well, if you were going to resurrect the Third Reich, would it not be a good idea to tell your agents to avoid all political activity?
The war was 40 years ago. You mean they've been asked to wait that long for Operation Siegfried?
They're patient, full of cunning. The Third Reich was planned to last for 1,000 years. Hitler said so. So what's 40 or 50 years for such people?
And you think these people are starting a Fourth Reich? But what's it got to do with me?
We got your name from the computer. We got a printout, committed it to memory, then destroyed it. There were many names, each with a code word, the significance of which we've not yet decided. Your name was the only one which sounded unmistakably Jewish. It seemed to us impossible that you'd be a supporter of their aims. Therefore, you must be an intended victim.
It's all true. You may not believe it, but it's all true.
Well, we've done all we could. We warned him.
What about some hard information? What about more names?
We wondered if you could be on some sort of death list, Mr. Stein.
And I'm wondering if all these swastikas and Nazi badges haven't taken hold of your senses.
Get stuffed. We told you, and that's that.
What about a little more evidence?
We'll talk about it. I've got to get ready to go to the bank. Have you got a car, Mr. Stein?
Yeah? Why?
I'd be grateful if you give me a lift to the tube. Looks like it's going to rain. Thank you, Mr. Stein. That was very kind.
I wish you'd give me more information. Give me some details of the trust. I mean, what's its address?
Perhaps next time.
Why not now? If my life is in danger the way you say it is, why not now?
Because we don't believe you are Mr. Stein. Jimmy thinks you are the police. I'm not certain who you are, but the computer printout shows nearly $100 million against your name. You're not a man who's ever had the use of a fortune. Men who handle money like that don't come knocking on doors in King's Cross early in the morning. They send others to do it for them. You tell Mr. Stein to come in person next time.
Für seine Freude und für seine Herrlichkeit, jetzt und immer, Deutschland, sieg ein!
To see. Thanks.
Have you found anything yet?
Three different sequences so far.
Oh, is that the photo you were talking about? The one you found in Wafer's farmhouse after the explosion?
Yeah. Must have been taken at the Kaiseroda mine on or about April the 2nd, 1945. That's Wafer, and that's Breslau next to him.
The man you met in Los Angeles? The film producer?
Yeah. The civilian is the one I'm trying to identify. Reichsbank Director Frank, he was calling himself in 1945.
And now you found him?
I think so. This is a blow-up from a frame of film of Hitler's meeting with Mussolini in 1941. Mm-hmm. You see that man there, through to the left of Hitler, the one with the camera in his hand?
Oh, but he's in uniform.
Well, Germans let their security people wear any uniform they fancied when they were at work. I've got other photos that resemble him. Now I'll get them enlarged to some reasonable size.
Oh, the darkroom will curse you, boy. They're up to their ears in work.
I've got a AAA priority, Kitty. There's nothing that takes priority over anything I need.
Well, I'll drink your tea. I ought to be getting back.
What are you doing down here, anyway?
You'll never guess. I came to return the DG's personal file.
You mean he keeps it locked away down here?
Oh, yes. He's most particular about it.
He was in Switzerland for most of the war, wasn't he?
Well, except for a short time, they let him serve with the army in Italy. He was deafened by the gunfire at Monte Cassino. That's why he wears a hearing aid.
A hearing aid?
Come on, you must have noticed. That's why he wears his hair so long.
The vain old bugger.
Isn't he?
I love you, Kitty.
Oh, don't be silly, boy. Give me a cup. I must get back to work.
What's the red sticker on the file for?
It's a stop mark. The cover name mustn't be used again.
Why?
Well, During the war, the DG used the name of Elliot Castlebridge. Well, that was a wartime order, you know, in case any of the high-ups were captured by the Germans.
A brief and exciting career of Elliot Castlebridge killed by a stop mark.
I'll leave you to Reichsbank Director Frank.
And that was certainly a cover name. I wonder what Frank calls himself now.
Herr Kleiber, I'm glad you're able to come here at such short notice. For us, it's only a matter of 2 or 3 hours' journey at most. For you, a long and dreary flight.
Dr. Bodker, I love Hamburg, and I love coming here. After all, I'm married in Hamburg, even if it proved to be a brief duration, and she still lives here, happily married to someone else. And I would willingly do the journey all over again for such a magnificent breakfast.
Gentlemen, to business. The business of Operation Siegfried. Now, I must admit to you all that things have not gone as smoothly as we had hoped. When, thanks to the activities of Herr Kleiber, we took so much money from the Americans' bank in Geneva, we expected Stein or Pittman to offer the Hitler documents to us through Herr Kleiber's man in Los Angeles. This proved to be a miscalculation on our part. Perhaps if these men had been Germans, they would have reacted more rationally. But they're Americans.
I trust, Dr. Bodker, that this does not mean that there will be any slackening in our efforts to acquire the documents. Surely they are vital to the cause of Operation Siegfried.
Oh, we shall not slacken, Herr Fischer. All of us have given a great part of our lives to making Germany prosperous, strong, and a good place to live in. Has anyone forgotten what we suffered under Hitler and his fellow criminals?
We have not forgotten, Doctor.
Yes, but democracy is a fragile flower. What we have built from the ashes of 1945 could be quickly destroyed by neo-Nazi madmen or by communist fanatics who would like to see Russian soldiers patrolling our streets. Hitler is dead. Let him remain dead. We want no revelations which will bring Hitler out of his grave and make him glorious in the eyes of the German people.
But can our ends only be achieved through violence? I gather that several men have already been killed. Can we be sure that that is the end of it?
By no means. I have no doubt that there will be other deaths, simply because the men we are up against are determined on a collision course.
I had not fully understood that when we began. I wonder how many of us would have authorized the formation of the trust had we realized that the money was to be paid to hired killers.
I understood it, Herr Rau, and everyone I spoke to understood it. Everyone who is not hard of hearing understood it.
My hearing is not defective.
We must leave the operational side of the matter to Willy.
Does operational side mean killing people we don't like?
Yes. You'd better understand this, gentlemen. Each and every one of us has already committed a crime. We are all accessories to murder. If we close down Operation Siegfried tomorrow, our plans unfulfilled, what then? Can we bring those men back to life? No. And what if one of us decided to go to the police and tell them of our plan? Shall I tell you what would happen? Everyone associated with Operation Siegfried would be ruthlessly hunted down and rigorously punished. As Winston Churchill said in 1940, we shall fight on unconquerable until the curse of Hitler is lifted from the brows of mankind.
There will be no violence for the sake of violence, Dr. Rao. And with all due respect to Dr. Bodker, I must be allowed to correct him. There's no place in this delicate operation for personal animosities. The only people who will be killed are those who have knowledge which is dangerous to our cause. Dr. Bodker has selected me for the operation side of this plan simply because he knows that I do not relish violence. I am your sword arm, gentlemen. Be confident that I will not strike down the innocent.
Thank you, Willie.
And now, gentlemen, let us get down to business. Money is urgently required in London.
Well, that turned out all right. Although I wonder what Rao is going to do for a moment.
Oh, he's getting old. It'll happen to all of us eventually, I suppose.
Anyway, it turned out all right.
For the time being, it did. But you know as well as I do that it would not be one or two deaths.
It will be messy. Look at the trouble we had over killing Wafer in England. I thought it was going to become a big newspaper story.
They were mad to do it like that. Have our people there no sense?
The British Secret Service already knew Wafer. They were pressing him. We had to do something very quickly indeed.
The British Secret Service. They are the real danger. To let them get hold of the Hitler minutes would be the very worst thing that could happen to us. If the newspapers got them, we might be able to buy them off, or even frighten them off. Failing that, we can put up a smoke screen. But if they fall into the hands of the British Secret Service, anything may happen.
Everything seems to come at once, Stuart. Do you find that?
Yes, sir, I do. I'm awfully sorry to be making a difficult day even worse for you.
Homosexuals, are they?
I'm sorry, I don't quite...
These computer creatures, are they homosexuals?
I have no reason to think so, Director.
They sound like two delinquents.
Well, they are delinquents.
Quite so, Stuart. Am I to take it that you're treating their information seriously?
For the time being, I am, sir.
Isn't it rather preposterous? Surely you don't believe that a syndicate of German industrialists is about to start a new Nazi movement?
I'm not at the stage where I can start enjoying the luxury of discounting anything.
Well, it's your investigation. The PM is asking for a situation report. I'm not going to relish telling him that my principal field agent thinks it's all a neo-Nazi plot.
No, sir, of course not.
You don't mind if I make a few inquiries myself?
No, sir.
Good. Good, that's it then.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry to cut it short, but I'm due to have lunch with Herr Hyman of West German Intelligence, Stuart.
Yes, sir.
Mercifully, he shares my interest in cactuses. Otherwise, God knows what we'd have to talk about.
I have a mealybug in my ripsalis.
Oh, dear.
I just do not know what I'm going to do.
Well...
The only thing that will kill it is paraffin. So often it kills the plant also.
No. Oh, I never resort to paraffin. No. As soon as you see those grey, fluffy specks, get them off with a pin. If the worst comes to the worst, cut away the part of the plant that's affected, but never use paraffin. It's fatal.
Ah, that's fascinating. I shall try it.
Good. Yes, damn pity you can't spare the time to come down to my place in the country. My Echinocactus tabularis will amaze you.
Next time, perhaps.
Excellent.
I only wish there was something I could do for you in return, Sir Sidney.
Perhaps there is, my dear chap.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this is a top secret matter, but I want to check on the likelihood of a young fellow working for a London branch of a Hamburg bank being able to get something from their control computer. You have to be a very discreet inquiry.
Well, that is a simple matter, Sir Sidney. I'll handle it personally. Tomorrow I'll be in Bonn, lunching with an old friend who runs one of our best security companies. Willy Kleiber knows all about German bank computer systems.
Oh, excellent. You see, I'd rather not have it made official.
Yeah.
Now, I'll give you the details. The young man's name is Bock. Paul Bock.
Stuart.
Stein is in England.
Stein?
Not the father, the son. Billy Stein. They weren't able to get the message off the answering machine. Stein sent his son over to talk to Bock. He got the name from the agency this morning. He's on his way there now.
There you are, young man. Jimmy's Militaria.
Thanks.
Anybody there? It's Billy Stein. Is anybody in?
Stuart.
Stein went to the house.
Where is he now?
He's back in his hotel. He's badly shaken. We've arranged a safe house in the Pentonville Road. It's just like a police station and all fitted up with cells. He'll never know the difference. He's all yours, Stuart.
Right.
Yeah? What is it?
Room service, Mr. Stein.
What do you want?
I've got a packet for you.
Push it under the door.
It's a packet, I said, sir. It won't go under the door.
Freeze. This thing can put bullets through the side of a car. I hate to think what it could do to you, Billy. I'll give you what you gave those poor kids up in King's Cross this morning if you give me the least excuse.
What kids? I don't know what you're talking about. How'd you know my name?
Don't give me all that stuff, Stein. I know what you did this morning. You killed those two kids and hacked their heads off. What did they do to you? Were you trying to sell them some of your dad's fancy Hitler documents? Or were they behind with the rent?
Oh, I get it. You're one of those Brits who's been talking to my dad about those papers. Well, you know all that stuff.
I know about the papers. What I didn't know is the length that you and your dad would go to hang on to them. What did you use, Billy? A hacksaw, was it? Or a chopper?
You don't talk to me like that, you bastard. I didn't kill those people. I swear to God I didn't.
You did kill them, you little creep. Hold still or I'll blow your head off.
You know what I think? I think you killed them. If you didn't do it personally, somebody employed by the goddamn British spy service did it. And then you put that phone message onto my tape, staked out the house to watch me walk into your trap. It's a frame-up. You set me up!
Never mind the histrionics. You lean forward and put your arms behind you so I can fit the handcuffs on you.
You're charging me, are you?
No. You'll be charged by a nice police inspector in full dress uniform. You get an inspector for a murder charge, Stein. No lesser rank may do it. It will be something to write to your dad about. I just came along to collect you. We're going out the back way. Cut up rough and you'll go out feet first. Got it?
I did just what you told me, sir.
He'll go a long way, Parsons. Paid his bill and checked his room carefully.
Just the way they showed us at the training school.
No one's perfect. Benson should have done his police inspector bit by now, so he can go down to the cells and give Stein some gentle interrogation for the next couple of hours.
What is the prime objective, sir?
Just ask him questions. Any questions. Don't try to solve the murders. I want him tired and worried by the time I take over.
Are we certain that he didn't murder the people at King's Cross?
The two men were discovered dead by one of our own operatives while Billy Stein was still in the States.
Yeah, I suppose that clinches it.
Well, let's just say that we'd need a very persuasive prosecutor.
Oh, squalid little place you've chosen, Stuart. The safe houses are all the same.
Would you like a drink, sir? The duty officer managed to rustle up a bottle of port.
Really? Oh, yes, well, I suppose. Thank you. So, how's young Stein?
He's still very shaken. I accused him of murdering the men. I said he'd face trial if he didn't cooperate fully.
And will he cooperate?
He says he will, but he's still in a state of shock. A man in that condition is likely to say anything.
So what do you propose to do?
Let young Stein speak to his father.
Release the son if Dad gives us the Hitler minutes.
Yes, sir.
Crude, isn't it, Stuart?
It is, sir. Very crude. Do you have a better suggestion?
No, at the present time I do not.
Father and son are very close, sir.
Never been on a tiger shoot, have you, sir?
No, sir.
No. Well, you put out a line of beaters in the early morning and they walk forwards kicking up the very devil of a din. The guns are moving towards them, well strung out, on elephants, of course.
Of course.
Good beaters can get the creatures moving at just the right pace. You don't want your tigers galloping past. Of course, there's usually some bloody fool who fires too soon. He fires towards the beaters, you see. Now, that's not the idea at all. You've got to let your tiger come past and shoot him as he passes, or even after he's passed, but never while he's still coming towards you.
Yes, sir.
Or Timmy Tiger goes back and mauls one of your beaters. You see what I mean, don't you?
You mean Stein.
Indeed I do, Stuart. I mean Mr. Stein, our Timmy Tiger. You know, you'd better tell me what's on your mind, my boy. I can see something's troubling you.
I'd like to be transferred to some other operation, sir.
Transferred? This is the most important operation we have going, and the PM is expecting me tomorrow morning at 8:30 to hear the latest news. I am under pressure, Stuart.
Yes, I understand that, sir. But I think you could find someone more suitable for the job. I'm at a disadvantage with Stein and Breslau both knowing I work for this department.
We didn't choose you to captain a junior school tennis team, Stuart. You knew this might be rough. I told you so myself, if I remember rightly.
You did, sir.
Ah. You believe the department had those men killed?
It wouldn't be the first time such a thing has happened.
No, it wouldn't be the first time.
This afternoon, Stein was in a state of near collapse. He'd been to that house and seen two decapitated men. He accused me of arranging the murders. I'm no longer sure we didn't do so, and I don't like that. They weren't dangerous.
Oh, one of them was taking high-grade information out of an important German computer.
Taking information out of a computer isn't a capital crime.
Depends where you are. I wouldn't give very much for the chances of someone who tried that sort of thing on in the Soviet Union.
Did you order those men killed, sir?
Certainly not, Stuart. It's not my style.
But if in the line of duty you had to give orders for the expedient demise of two men, you'd not necessarily feel you had to tell me about that, would you?
I would use my judgment.
I'd still like to be assigned to something different, sir.
Request refused, Stuart. Request refused.
In XPD by Len Deighton, Boyd Stuart was played by Trevor Nichols, Sidney Ryden, David Garth, Willy Kleiber, Clifford Rose, Dr. Botka, George Kouloris, Hitler Minutes, Colin Starkey, Section Head, Bernard Brown, Jimmy, Robin Summers, Paul Bock, Christopher Douglas, Kitty, Melinda Walker, Fisher, David Sinclair, Billy Stein, Ian Tyler, Parsons, Graham Blocky. XPD is dramatized by Michael Bakewell and directed by Peter King.